I actually did do it. I released a lot, as you know. But when it came to the whole thing, I was hit by some people that worked for me that are great people that you would respect. And they asked me not to do it. And I'm saying, why? Tell me why. And they said, sir, I think it needs a little more time. And I released a lot. But I said, if they feel so strongly, I respect the people and would have done that again. But this time, I'm just going to do it.
RFK says the CIA killed his uncle. Do you believe that?
Well, this wasn't CIA that asked me, but I think CIA was probably behind it. But they didn't. They would have preferred that I not release the rest of it. So we did give quite a bit. It's going to be done early on. A lot of people want to see that. And whatever it may say, I won't say it, so I have an idea. But whatever it is, it'll be very interesting for people to see. And we're going to have to learn from it.
So President Trump's making a few promises. He's making some pretty saucy commitments to the American people, should he become the president of the United States. Do you think that if we elect Joe Biden again, that he's going to release the... He probably thinks he killed him.
This is the kind of stuff, though, that I, as a kid, I was like, man, why don't presidents do this? This is the kind of stuff we need a really good president in there to release everything. Just release it all. And Trump's saying he's going to do it. I love it.
Me too. One of the things that Logan Paul asked him was like, he's like, so, aliens. And Trump was like, I don't know. He kind of waffled on a little bit and suggested that he doesn't know that they exist, but there's a lot of weird stuff going on. And, you know, Donald Trump is so Donald Trump about everything. I have no idea. I can't read that guy. Like, I don't know when he knows something and he's not letting on that he knows something, because he's always making you think he knows more than he knows. And you know that as the president of the United States, that he does, in fact, have some things in his head that he has not just told the American people. One of the things that I think Americans would love to have the most is the JFK stuff. And I find it as a compelling, you know, let's not tax tips on our waiters and waitresses and get the JFK tapes. What else does he need to do?
I agree. I completely agree. This is the kind of stuff that I'm like, yeah, this is America. Let's do this.
The clip that I just played for you was from the All In podcast. Did you pull this from a video?
I pulled it off of Grabian.
Was it the video?
Yeah, there is a video of it.
So is this where he's in the Zoom meeting?
Yes.
I was listening to this Zoom. It was like an hour long. Another Logan Paul last week, different kind of situation. But at the beginning of this podcast, you see Donald Trump like shuffle into the shot and like straighten his tie. The boom microphone dips down into the top of the shot for a hot second. And you're like, he's just like one of us. But then they're all sitting in these really, really fancy boardrooms and not like the homemade studio I made for myself in COVID that had mattress pads stapled up on the wall to soundproof.
Yeah, but you couldn't see any of that.
No, you couldn't.
You could only see it if you walked in, you turned the camera the other way.
You got to see my studio set up the whole time I was doing it, and then you got to come see it for real.
Which is great. It was very beneficial to me because, as you know, I just run into rooms as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. And so when those were up, I didn't hurt myself like usual.
Do you feel a lot of pressure right now to be funny since Jamie Lissow is sitting right outside?
Oh, I didn't even know he was here.
That's a bull crap lie. You our line dog.
Well, thank you for the mattress joke setup, because I know we talked about that ahead of time, and I'm like, I think this is like a really good one. Let's do that. And so I appreciate the setup.
And I was just really talking about how I was sitting in, like, next to my sump pump, broadcasting for 2 years, basically, in my basement. It was very rudimentary. But Donald Trump sits down in this podcast that a lot of people listen to, a lot of people are exposed to. And the Logan Paul, and forgive me, I don't know who the other guy was in that. I know Logan Paul's name. I don't know who the other guy in the podcast was, but he got Donald Trump to endorse his book. He was talking about how he was a drug addict. I don't remember what the drug of choice was, but he wrote a book about it and how addiction is a really bad thing. And Trump was very understanding and agreeable to this is a topic that needs to be discussed. And it just is a natural conversation. Shift over to watching Donald Trump show up and sit in his desk and welcome people and smile and be like a human being, as opposed to the robotic old guy that Joe Biden has turned into. Listen to this clip here from MSNBC
Analysts. Well, the Biden campaign needs to set the narrative early that Biden is competent and capable to lead going forward. And he absolutely cannot have a senior moment at this debate. That's what I heard from. I was in Wisconsin.
How does Joe Biden not have Joe Biden is a senior moment. There isn't anything that Joe Biden is going to be able to do. When he's on stage at this debate next week, for the amount of time that he's going to have to be out there and be performing, one of two things is going to happen. He's going to be effective as a communicator on Thursday, or he's not. If he's very effective, we're going to be like, how do we get that Joe Biden on the world stage? Because we just had him at the G7. And that wasn't it.
And Michigan 2 weeks ago for a lot of focus groups. And what I heard from voters, Democrats who support Biden, is just that they are going to be watching and they want to make sure that he's up to the task. They might still be planning to vote for him, but they're uncomfortable about the age. And it really is an albatross that is hanging around this candidate and campaign.
He has the goal for Joe Biden on Thursday is to not look old. That's it.
That is it. Yeah, if he comes across like the State of the Union, which is going to be harder. I'm not saying that that's going to be the same speech because he won't have a teleprompter here. But if he comes across where he gives you any confidence that he hasn't really lost his mind, he's actually doing okay, that's a huge win for him.
Joe Biden, his opponent on Thursday night is his own old age. He's going to have to figure out how to combat it. But the better he is at it on Thursday, the more of a comparison we're going to have to his daily existence. You can't separate those two things, and he can't not go all in on Thursday. He has to look completely competent in that setting. And I don't care what anybody says. I think that the debate rules actually confine Trump to potentially position Donald Trump to be the best version of Donald Trump. Here's Karl Rove on the subject.
I absolutely think it will be the most consequential moment of this campaign. It's high stakes for both of them. We've never had a presidential debate where it could have as volatile an impact on the election. And what's interesting is that it's high stakes and dangerous because it's going to be held on the 27th of June. Typically what happens is, like, for example, Barack Obama and George W. Bush did badly in their first debates in 2004 and 2012, but they had a second debate that followed relatively closely. This next debate will be on the 10th of September.
Great point.
Which means that there's nearly 11 weeks between this debate and the next one. So whatever happens in this one is going to have an outsized and I think durable effect on the outcome of the race.
So, yeah, I agree. But I also think that the separation is, I don't think Joe Biden's the guy. I really do believe that they're putting Joe Biden out there next Thursday so that the country goes, you got to replace him. And the Democrats will be like, oh, we love Joe. Okay.
Yeah, the best thing that could happen to the Republican ticket is if Joe Biden has a decent debate, because it'll
then he could slide in there, inspire, or they have to do something a little more divisive,
right?
With the party,
just inspire a little bit of confidence. That's all we're asking.
Newt Gingrich was talking about the debate, and I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking about the debate, and I think it's an important thing to bring up again. Everybody's focused on Joe. Why? Because we're not sure that he can make it, and we've set the bar so incredibly low in the basement where he is accustomed to being that if he shows up and doesn't fall over by the end of the debate and articulates a few sentences constructively, people are going to be like, see, he's fine. this is where we are. Nobody's really talking about what Donald Trump needs to do to have a successful debate. Newt Gingrich is, and I think he's right.
Yeah. I actually did do it. I released a...
Wrong clip. Gingrich is right here.
The problem for Biden is that he has a huge uphill climb. The morning after this debate, Americans are going to go back to the grocery store.
Right.
They're going to be reminded how expensive everything is. Within 2 or 3 days of the debate, some illegal migrant's going to commit a crime that makes national news. You go down the list. So Biden's problem is, can he do so well in the debate that he offsets reality? Trump's problem's totally different. All Trump has to do is be calm.
This is what my dad says when all the grandkids are over and everyone is freaking out in the way kids do. He just goes, calm down. And so that has replicated through my family. That's what Donald Trump needs to do. Donald Trump, the story that if people do talk about Donald Trump after the debate, the story needs to be that Donald Trump wasn't the story. He needs to allow Joe Biden's cognitive ability to put his right foot and left foot one at a time in front of the other up to the podium to stay there to speak and to leave without an incident. He needs that to remain the story. Just like Newt Gingrich said, the debate isn't going to make everyone go, you know what? I don't really care about the fact that I have a bunch of credit card debt and no savings because I can't afford anything. I don't really care that my business is under attack because inflation is so high that people don't have the expendable income to come patronize my place of business or use my service the way they used to. I don't really care that my kids, I can't let them go out and play in the streets because kids are getting snatched up and trafficked and abused and murdered and raped. And I don't care about any of that because Joe Biden spoke in paragraphs and not sentences. Slow clap for the old guy. He's really still got it. Nobody's going to do that. If Donald Trump does insert himself into the situation and he soaks up all the attention on the stage and can't let the spotlight go and wants to be combative and be like, look at the old fart over there, and starts really like laying into him, nobody's going to want to watch Donald Trump pick on the old guy. And Joe Biden will look much, much older and incapable if Donald Trump does not validate him as a candidate in this race, because Joe Biden has invalidated himself. He doesn't need Donald Trump to come in there and point out to the world that he's not up for the job. Joe Biden is doing a perfect job in and of himself, making everybody understand that he is not capable of doing the job. Donald Trump, don't get in his way. Stay calm. Talk about policy. Talk about not taxing tips for service providers, waiters and waitresses and so on and so forth. Talk about the things you're going to do to secure the border. Talk about the people who have been affected by the unsecure, unsafe, open border policy that is currently in place. Talk about the things that were ripped away from what the Trump administration did the first time they were in term, and what things you would put back and what you would do with the problem as it is ballooned. Talk about trusting American parents to raise their own kids and not feeling like you've got to insert yourself in every situation in order to make sure the parents are doing it right. And if they're not doing it right, taking over for them. Talk about restoring the American ideals and dreams and capitalism and making America great again. Simple. None of that has to do with naming Joe Biden even. You can talk about the policies that are in place without having to disparage the man. He's going to do it all by himself. Calm down. That's the win.
The best thing, you're exactly right. The best thing Trump can do is come away from this debate being the return to normal candidate. If people walk away going, oh, I remember that. That was the return.
To put the adults back in charge from the senior citizens.
Exactly. And conversely, Newt Gingrich said it. You played the clip. I mean, it's funny. It's actually the funniest thing I think I've ever heard Newt Gingrich say, that if Joe Biden can have a good enough performance that he offsets reality, that's a win for him. That's what Gingrich said, and it's true.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you put it that way, because the YouTube live chat poll for today, who's funnier, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Might seem easy on the surface, then you sit and ruminate. I don't know how you're going to vote, but you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and tell us who's funnier, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. When we come back, Jamie Lissow is going to be in studio with us, and he's funnier than both of them. I'm going to ask him that question off the top and let him weigh in on that topic. Who has him laughing more frequently? Is it Donald Trump or is it Joe Biden? You can vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Jamie Lissow going to spend the rest of the 12 o'clock hour with us here in studio. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've got Jamie Lissow in studio, and we are going to get right to the point. Jamie Lissow, you know him as an actor and comedian, writer and producer, Gutfeld, regular guest, and very, very funny. He's got a show. You're selling your shows out by the time you get here, man.
I know.
What good am I to you?
Do you know that this was the first place that where I sold a ton of tickets from Gutfeld? And I
really
thought, this is not a joke. I went to the Funny Bone in St. Charles, mm-hmm. and there was a huge line, and I go, what's going on here?
Wait, what's
going
on?
I did not think it was for me. I thought there was some TikToker that was doing like a late show, and they mm-hmm. go, those people are there to see you. Not even kidding. This is the first place I ever had a bar. So thank you.
But you bet.
Even if I was sold out, Annie, I would come talk to you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, I think that we have specifically on the show had a really good connection with the Gutfeld show, because Tyrus has been a Thursday guest on this show since 2018.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him. He did Fox had the Super Bowl maybe in 2018. I think it was the one where, like, Tampa Bay was losing, or no, the Patriots were losing until, like, the last 2 minutes of the game and came back, well, whatever. But Tyrus was on there. He wasn't, like, a super regular on Fox News at that point. And I'm like, that'd be fun to get him on the show. And he just said yes.
That's cool. And he's a great guy.
You guys have done some stuff together too, right?
Did I ever tell you that when I met Tyrus, how it was like I did something awkward? So
I would love to know.
I had a really awkward meeting with him. I didn't know Gutfeld that well. I didn't know the new show very well. I never watched professional wrestling. I didn't know. And he was coming out of the bathroom, and he used to carry his heavyweight belt over his shoulder. And I just go, hey, buddy, you need help with your pants? I thought.
Did he take you up on that? Is that how you became
That's
fast
not
friends?
True. I made that up. But when I first met him, I wondered what the belt was. And but then we became friends ever since, and we go to dinner sometimes. Yeah. And I love that man.
Do you know anything about wrestling?
Oh, no. I don't know anything about wrestling.
Do you pretend to around him?
I wrestle. He's told me some. Has he ever told you stories?
Yeah.
He's got stories where, like, when there's someone that doesn't want to get unseated, is like they actually hit the guy with a folding chair. Mm. Like, they don't fake it because they want to actually injure him. He's got some absolutely crazy stories. The folding chair, it's weird how in. It's the only piece of furniture that's also a weapon. Do you ever think about that?
It depends on how committed you are, really. Yeah. It's really up to the individual,
yeah,
I think.
It's the only thing where you go, I'm going to use that as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Never see somebody pick up an ottoman.
Maybe a small one.
Yeah.
We do a YouTube poll every day. And today's is who's funnier, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? You got a thought on that?
It's a great question, but I feel like it's in how you sort of take the question. Because Joe Biden... I think Trump is a very funny man. Mm-hmm. I think he is, the key word here is intentionally funny. Joe Biden is hilarious and has no idea.
Yeah.
This man, I said this to somebody earlier today, but like, I think the reason Joe lies so much, he just makes up all. Yeah, like, no matter what you go, oh, there's a fire. And he's like, I used to be a fire. Like, whatever you say, he just is like the crit. That was a match.
And
as a young man.
And people around him all go, yeah.
Yeah, you know why? Because he was alive before you could Google things and call someone their BS. I think he was that guy that could say anything to anybody.
We come from a different time.
Yeah, I know. You can look at your phone and go, that guy. And I'm also, again, you know how they say, like, oh, they, you know the thing where Biden goes over, there's a guy parachuting behind him, and he's like, oh, I'm going to look the opposite way. And it's like a hilarious clip. And they go, oh, they cut it different to make him look bad. I go, we don't need help making Joe look bad. And there was one thing that I saw where they like cut it up, whatever they call it. Like, I forgot what the word is. Cheap fake. Where Biden, it's the whole crowd going, four more years. Four more. And they cut out the part at the beginning where Joe goes, hey, what's the longest you guys think I live? And they go, four. They cut that
deceptive
out.
Editing.
It's very deceptive.
Yeah. Cheap fakes. Did we need cheap fakes? Deep fakes weren't enough. And when Corinne Jean-Pierre, I asked this question the other day to somebody, I don't know, you guys or whatever, but it's like, do you think Corinne Jean-Pierre believes what Corinne Jean-Pierre is saying?
I don't even know anymore. Yeah, I don't even think so. What about Biden? What did they just show? That we were just on another radio show, and there was like some Biden thing where sometimes he just, have you ever noticed he just like, I feel like his teleprompter person, I think their space bar doesn't work.
No.
Like, I don't think there's like space, yeah, he's just like, oh,
yeah, what's the word, Brad? You can say it really well. It ends in pressure.
Oh, Trinidad did a pressure.
Yeah, that one, I don't
know. Oh, dude, that was ridiculous.
It's
and also,
phonetic.
He's many times mumbled the name of the country. I feel like when you're the president, you should work with someone on that. Might come up. United States of America might come up.
You said you think Trump is intentionally funny.
Oh, I think Trump's is a funny guy. Like, I think he has actual jokes.
One of my favorite things that Trump does is go off on in tangents. He's doing like these 1 hour, 2 hour rallies. I've been to two of his rallies before. I've seen it in action. He goes off on a tangent. Mm-hmm. It's something totally wild and crazy.
Yeah.
And he's like, in Nevada, he was talking about sharks and getting electrocuted by a boat or something like that. And then MSNBC dedicates a day to repeating it like that's the foreign policy of Donald Trump.
Right. He's just...
Is he trolling?
I feel like he's just having fun. I don't think he cares anymore what's kicking. But I truly believe I think he's a funny guy.
I do too.
He is absolutely amazing. When he did the Biden impression, do you remember that? Where he pretended he was Biden?
When he was like walking around on the stage?
That was legitimately, his timing was good. I thought, you know what I feel bad about with Trump though? Do you guys remember, you know, you guys I'm sure have been over it and over it, but the Stormy Daniels thing and with the hush money, whether he paid it or not, I don't think it worked. Do you know what I mean? Because it's all we're talking about.
Not a great investment.
I think it's a worse investment than a lap dance. Honestly.
It's all a lie.
Brad, is that true or not?
Yeah,
Brad does not know he's a pastor.
feel bad for him. It's just, if he paid it, we should keep it hush hush. Yeah. I just feel bad.
I don't think that Donald Trump could commit the crime that he was convicted of again if he tried.
Yeah, it's very complicated. It's very complicated.
And then I need to do what?
Yeah, how powerful is Trump that he was watching a porn and was like, I'd like to order that one from my house. I'd like her to show up. I don't even watch porn, by the way. Even when I do, I only watch it for like 2 to 3 minutes. Seriously.
I got nothing to follow up with that.
I don't think there's a man in the world that knows how a pornographic movie ends. No one's ever like, man, I want to see if they fire that pizza guy. He's been gone for 3 hours.
I don't. I don't know, Brian.
Again, this is Brad's territory, so...
Again.
Let's let him answer.
So when Donald Trump, like, he simultaneously takes himself 100% seriously and 100% doesn't take anything seriously.
Yeah.
It's kind of a talent.
It is.
And I think it shows that he has the intellectual capacity to understand people and rooms and situations, which if you only listened to one side of the political world, you have no idea that that man exists. There's a whole facade that exists around Donald Trump, which I think is the number one thing that he has to compete with in order to win the election. He has to make people understand who he is against who they've made him seem to be. Joe Biden is going to take care of Joe Biden.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. I feel like I know this from working on Gutfeld with Laura Trump and people that have worked with Trump, where they just go, this is crazy. He's like the smartest, nicest guy. He's kind to everyone. Like the things that I hear from people that work with him, you would never know if you only watch this.
You just said he's kind. And that would make people invert themselves.
It's all I've ever heard. I've never heard and I've talked to people that have worked in his administration, people, I mean, you know, people that I don't know have to be biased that mm-hmm. don't work with him anymore, that just are saying, dude, they go, you'd love him. He's like the great, that's what I heard.
Why do they hate him?
I'm just reporting. I don't know. I think they have to create, I think they're scared of him. I think they're, wouldn't it be tough to be on, if you're on that team Biden, I just feel like it is like, you have to spin everything. There's no way you believe what you're saying, right? If you're on TV, like he trips and they're like, oh, he's trying parkour. It's a new thing.
And they go, kids are doing it.
He has no short-term memory. Oh, he's always got a fresh take. He's having to spin all the time, just panicking at all times.
Yeah. And it's, I do watch Corinne Jean-Pierre when she's flipping through her binder and repeating herself and explicitly reminding us that she's been very clear. And it's like, the one thing that you have not been, ma'am, is clear.
You know who you reminded me of? Did you see Kamala on Jimmy Kimmel?
Maybe a clip.
She does a thing that I've noticed. I noticed a lot of things with her, but I noticed that she picks a phrase. Sometimes I feel like when she gives a speech, it's as if they said to her, hey, we would like you to give an entire speech. We only want you to use these 7 words. You can change the order of them. And she was on Kimmel.
Just to be safe.
Yeah.
Don't go out of bounds.
But sometimes she hooks onto a phrase and only uses it for like one interview. And on Kimmel, she keeps going. She goes, hey, in reality, the country wants something different. In reality, we don't want a guy. And I go, how about if you don't say that, I'll just assume everything's in reality. Like, is the rest of it not in reality? She does these, like, you know, when someone goes, like, I'm going to be honest with you. Were you just BSing me previously?
Mm-hmm.
It's like an old Dom Herrera bit. Like, when someone says that, you go, what was happening? What was the rest of it, you know?
Yeah.
Did I tell you, I don't know if you watched Gutfeld when all this happened, but so I got, in my personal life, I got engaged, right? And we didn't tell anybody because we have like kids. We didn't want to figure out how to tell them. And the next day I was on Gutfeld and Kamala had just been on with Drew Barrymore on the Drew Barrymore show. And it was the worst interview of all time.
Yeah.
And I go, Greg goes, what'd you think of the interview? And I go, man, I proposed to my girlfriend this weekend and I didn't get as close to her while proposing as Drew Barrymore got to Kamala. And so Greg goes, wait a second, did you actually get engaged? And I go, yeah. I did. I didn't plan on saying anything. And I go, I did. And he goes, have you told your ex-wife? And I go, yeah, just now on your show. And so Gutfeld tapes and then airs 4 hours later.
You had to do some things.
I'm walking home and I go, I wasn't supposed to say anything. We agreed not to tell. So I call her up and I go, I think I've made an error. I have announced on Gutfeld that we're engaged. And she goes, I haven't told anybody. And I go, you have 4 hours.
And so
she calls everybody and I go, wouldn't it be funny if we just said, we don't tell them what's going on. We just go tune into Fox at 9 p.m., 10 p.m. And so we do that. We tell everybody. And it's about to air and I'm pretty excited. And my phone rings and I look, it's Gutfeld. He never calls me. He never, we text, but he never calls me. It's a 1 minute air, and he goes, I have to tell you something. I know you made the big announcement on the show. He goes, I want to tell you that the show's not going to air tonight. It's been,
oh no,
whatever, Something happened. Whatever that stupid word is. They go, it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be the Columbia protesters. and I go, we don't have time to tell everybody. And so there's just like 100 people watching Fox News, like, why did Jamie tell us to watch the Columbia protest?
You should have showed up at the protest.
Yeah, I go,
there is an opportunity.
They think I'm going to pop out of a tent or something. I don't know. What. And then it did air the next day.
So it got out.
It was kind of funny. Those protesters, that got me. I did not like them before they ruined my moment. And then afterwards.
Selfishness. They crossed a line.
I don't even know if this is a joke, but I'm trying to put forth this thought I had that I've never been able to clearly say. But the protesters, right? They were like protesting, like, hey, you know what? And then this cop came over, and there's this big tall guy. Remember the video of the cop carrying the tall boy away? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys saw that. And this guy's protesting, and then he says something to the cop, and the cop's like, had enough. He picks up this big tall boy.
He'd had enough.
Carries him away like a surfboard. And it's an incredible show of strength and balance. And my favorite part of the clip, and I haven't been able to say that, I don't know how to explain why I think it's so amazing, is as he's picking the kid up, the kid's like, help! Oh my God! And I feel like if I was one of his protesting friends, I would have been like, where was that intensity of protesting when you're in line with us?
Yeah.
You save the real protesting for when you carry it away. That's the potential you have.
It's very performative. It's all very performative.
It is.
I keep thinking, like, what are these kids going to do? I mean, they're not really kids.
No.
They are effectively adults. They could serve their country and die for the country at the age that they are. And they seem hopeless and helpless. And
it's bizarre.
There's a whole future for them in that. They don't necessarily ever have to escape it and go to what Kamala would say, reality.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe nobody's ever said that to them.
Yeah, it's good. And it's $350,000 to go to Columbia for 4 years.
Gosh.
If my kid said, I'd like to go to Columbia, Dad, I know you have $350,000, I would go, you know what? What if we just keep it? Let's keep it. I'll put a 10 out back. You can skip class. We'll just pretend you go to Columbia.
How about no?
Yeah, can you imagine being a parent and you see your kids in a tent not going to class or gets kicked out?
Is it the apple falling not too far from the tree?
It's possible, but you know there's got to be one or two that did the right thing.
In the Baltimore riots way back when,
mm-hmm.
there was that one kid. He was like 15 and he was thrown. His mom went into the camera shot, grabs him by the ear and is like beating him with her shoe on the way out. And it was like, we need that.
Right.
We need her.
Yeah. She's an outlier though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It absolutely is. You going to stick around for another segment?
Absolutely. If you'll have me.
Yes,
I'd love to.
We certainly will. Jamie Lisso in studio with us. He is at the St. Charles Funny Bone this weekend. Check out the Saturday 9 p.m. show, stlfunnybone.com for tickets. You will laugh so hard. When I went to your show, I think it was the first time you came here.
Yeah.
I had never gone. That was the first comedy show I'd ever gone to.
Oh my goodness.
Ever. And I'm like I said, I got four kids. I don't really laugh that hard for that long. And it was so refreshing. I would have said before, I'm not a comedy club person. I realized I was. I just hadn't had the experience yet. So you need to go check it out. The tickets are going fast. So you probably need to go right now on this break. STLFunnyBone.com and get your tickets before they're gone. Because when they're gone, they're gone. Go see Jamie Lisso. You will not regret it. I promise you. You trust me. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's Friday. We're happy about that. I bet you are as well. We've got Jamie Lisso in studio with us, and he is at the St. Charles, the Funny Bone Streets of St. Charles. He is there now this weekend. Well, not now. He's here right now. Tonight at 7:30, Saturday at 9 p.m. I think that tonight's show sold out completely?
I heard tonight is sold out.
Okay.
And then tomorrow early is sold out.
9 p.m.
And there's some for the late show. You know how you guys say, thank God it's Friday? I go, thank God it's Monday.
Yeah.
Because I work all weekend, but I like my job. So.
Sure. STLFunnyBone.com for tickets. Go check them out and pack that room. It's going to sell out fast. So if you are interested in going, I've gone myself. It is absolutely worth the time. I promise you'll have a fantastic evening. It's very funny. STLFunnyBone.com. All right. Are we ready to do Wiggins America? Are you ready?
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
The bee or not the bee.
All right, Ryan. Jamie's going to play with us, too, today. This is fun.
Yeah, so we have three people to vote on whether or not these are real stories or they're satire from the Babylon Bee. I'll read the headline, then you guess. Here you go. KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, claims video where she said Biden video was a deep fake was also a deep fake.
Sounds like the Bee.
I got the Bee on that one.
Jamie?
I'm going to say not the Bee.
Do you think that, like, because I don't think Joe Biden's going to be the guy. I don't think there's any way he can be the nominee.
I agree.
People are like, oh, it would take so much to it's like everything we do is unprecedented now.
Yeah. There's no way.
How could he possibly?
What world? You know how they show presidents before and after when they go into office and they get really old? What would his next picture look like if this is what we're going?
Yeah.
What would be the after? It would be a before and after life.
I remember those pictures up when I was in in grade school, and you'd see the beginning and the end.
Yes.
Because they'd do them for every president.
Remember
for
Clinton?
Time.
It was insane.
Yeah, and Barack Obama, too.
Yeah. Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't in grade school with Barack Obama, just for the record.
Very aged.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Not the bee.
So you guys are not the bee. Oh. Jamie says it. Wait, you said not the bee now.
Yeah.
We're going now.
Okay. And Brad's saying the bee. All right. Members of the White House press corps proceeded to play a clip of the video from a day earlier, which appeared to show Jean-Pierre labeling the negative Biden clips as deepfakes. This is you, said one reporter. It's the bee.
It's the bee.
Okay. We were here. We listened to you say it. Deepfake. Jean-Pierre said tersely as she cut the reporter off immediately. You're a deep fake. You're deep faking right now. This isn't happening. I'm not here. I'm not saying these words right now. Don't look at me, deep fake.
Why? What's the difference between a deep fake and a cheap fake?
Cheap fake is a new term used by White House talking points.
I think that a cheap fake is a meme.
Is a cheap fake to advance an agenda? And a deep fake is just like, let's pretend Tom Cruise is doing something. I don't know which one's
I heard Harris Faulkner say, I think it was on Outnumbered yesterday, that she had a guest on who was like, deep fakes are felonies.
Mm. Oh.
So like the Tom Cruise thing, I think those are deep fakes.
Right.
I really do think that, you know, like my favorite one of the parachuter one was where before Joe Biden completely turns around,
you hear
the ice cream truck music. And then he just kind
of that's really
and
good.
And then you see the ice cream truck pull up. He's a very happy man.
I found out my whole marriage was a deep fake. It was right from the vows.
Not a cheap fake, though.
Yeah, I should have known from the vows. She was like, in good times, and that's it.
Wait, there's more. No, not at all.
Well, that was kind of a long pause there, Pastor. All right, next one. Best way to honor Trump, his face on a $500 bill.
Why $500? Is there a $500 bill? I wouldn't know.
I don't know.
Jamie?
I don't know. I don't have any $500 bills. I would not put it past Trump. This one's not too bad. I'm going to have to go not the bee on this one.
I don't know the story.
I don't know either.
Usually I've seen these if they're the bee.
This feels like this is a not the bee one.
I'm going to be different and say the B.
It is not the B. This is a real story. Arizona Representative Paul Gosar introduced a bill earlier in June pushing the Treasury to start printing $500 bills again.
So they existed in one point in time.
They did exist, this time with a portrait of Trump in the place of President William McKinley.
Oh, no, not McKinley.
I know.
A bridge right over here. What are we going to name that? Trump Bridge? Okay.
He served the top job from 1897 until 1901 when he was assassinated.
Oh.
Earlier this month,
poor guy.
Florida Representative Greg Stubbe introduced legislation also to change the name of parts of the ocean surrounding the U.S. after Trump. That is all real.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys, how easy must it have been to get girls if you were on the dollar bill? Like if you're George Washington, you're like, oh, who's that on your bill?
Your dream is a $1 bill?
I guess. I'll be honest with you. It's the only president bill I was 100% sure was on it.
I guess it depends on where you're picking girls up at, too.
Who's on the 50? The guy.
Yes. It's not Harrison.
Grant.
50?
Grant
50? Yeah.
Andrew Jackson on the 20 is the one that everyone always talks about.
That's
replacing.
Right.
And Benjamin's. Hundreds.
You would know.
Benjamin.
Yeah, I'm all about the Benjamins, baby.
A Lincoln is a
Who's
five.
On the two? Richard Simmons?
It sounds like a president. I'll say yes.
The B.
Yeah, yes. I'm locking that in.
Can you imagine getting a Richard Simmons $2 bill?
I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, when you got Richard Simmons on the
think
mind
this
for
is real.
You got
I don't
one?
Think this is real. Oh, yeah, we got a whole bunch more. Here we go.
You know, if you gave a $2 bill to a kid at McDonald's, they're cashing that sucker.
Oh, yeah.
That's as good as money.
Absolutely.
They're probably going to give you a 10 in return.
Do you know I got the other night somebody gave me a bunch of $2 bills?
Yeah.
I go, this person stole this from their grandparents.
I was just going to say, how old was this individual?
It was
Joe Biden?
A young person. I go, they don't know the value. That's my favorite. When a kid loses a tooth, I go $2 bill.
Uh-huh.
Because you can use the novelty to not spend $10 or $20.
Inflation.
My daughter said to me the other day, because I'm divorced, so I have them sometimes. We're going to sleep, and she goes, hey, Dad, on the off chance you're the tooth fairy,
mm-hmm.
you got to put $5 under the pillow.
You're like, but have
on
you
off chance.
Heard of a Simmons $2
That's
bill?
Right. That's what you're getting.
You're
going to
get a Simmons.
Did you spend, what'd you guys do for Father's Day?
So I went to a concert called Summer Smash.
Uh-huh.
They call it that because it feels like you're just getting hit with a hammer the whole time. It's a rap concert. I did it for my son. He's a teenager, and so I don't get as much time with him as I used to.
Sure.
It was 3 days, 10 hours a day, outdoor festival, extreme, and it was Father's Day weekend, and I sincerely feel like I should have been the only one to get the number one dad mug this year. I think the rest of them should have been number two.
Was this rap festival like inundated with father-son experience?
I was the oldest person there by so far. There were 100,000 people there. It was filled with like fun times, and then it was evacuated for high wind at one point, which involved just like thousands of people breaking down. It was terrifying. No cell service, so I couldn't keep track of my kid who was up front. It was very stressful, but I felt like I really put in some.
This was Father's Day?
It was Father's Day.
Was this your idea or your
son? It was his idea, but to be fair, I love Lil Yachty.
Okay.
And Lil Yachty did perform on Father's Day. So it wasn't exactly
seemingly
what I wanted.
Seemingly for you.
Yeah. My kids think that I put them so first that I think my kid thinks I might have gone without him to this concert. Like, he thinks I like it so much because I let him play his music. And like, I'm just trying to stay around.
It's really important to look at the actions of your kids through their intentions and not the surface level thing.
Exactly.
Because they have a very self-centered worldview. They're kids. They're supposed to. As a
Absolutely.
Parent, you're supposed to break them of that. You still got a little work to do.
Yeah, and I would like to say in general, if you like music, I would not go to an outdoor festival.
No.
It's the most challenging to get the sound right. Mm. It's too hot. There's like so many problems, but they did have, I don't know if it's still going on, but you could get a slice of pizza for $18. I don't know if that's,
sweet.
Yeah, I don't know if that's on special or if
was
there's
it
a limit.
Good pizza?
It was incredible.
Yeah?
It was incredible.
Have you partaken in any St. Louis foods? Do you know about St. Louis foods?
I'll be honest with you. I'm embarrassed that I'm kind of a loser, and I often don't get out of my room a lot. What am I missing?
Have you heard of Emos?
The alternative kids?
It's more like an alternative pizza.
If your hair gets in your eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the type of pizza.
Have you heard of Provel cheese? Provel.
I don't think so. I love a cheese.
It's St. Louis style pizza.
Where do I? Oh, okay.
What about toasted ravioli?
I've heard of toasted ravioli.
That's
I have
ours.
Not. That's yours.
Yes, that's a St. Louis thing.
Wow, what is it normally ravioli?
Like squishy with sauce.
I'm not trying to be critical, but I feel like they just changed the preparation.
It is
okay,
but we just do that here. It's breaded, fried, and then you can dip it in marinara sauce.
Well, that sounds amazing.
It is amazing.
What's your favorite place to get toasted ravioli?
I mean, Emo's is like the number one St. Louis way to do it.
Okay.
But most places around here on their appetizer menu is going to have T-Ravs is what we call them.
T-Ravs. I love T-Ravs.
I saw your face and I felt it. But
like
everybody listening is like, T-Ravs. Yeah. That's what you call them.
That's true. I didn't think about it at all until you reacted.
I thought Annie made it up because she's in such a hurry. She didn't have time to say the whole thing.
Yeah.
No, I got like T-Ravs. Maybe 3 minutes or so left.
She calls it Sunny D.
Yeah. I do enjoy some S&M, though, spaghetti and meatballs. It's,
That's not a
That's
St.
obviously
thing.
What I meant. That's not?
Yeah. No,
that's
I
what that means, right?
I understood.
I've always thought that's what that meant.
Yeah. You got to go into Illinois to get that.
We're all from Illinois.
Right. Right. Among the truck stops.
That's the joke you did when we were the first time. It was, what's the PTs?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Do you remember that part?
I remember now. I talked about strip clubs?
Not really. You didn't really talk about them, but you used PTs as a way.
It's all coming back.
A way to talk about.
The strip club was called PTs, and I was like, I think I know what the P and T stands for. I remember.
But you used it the whole set.
I remember.
And I think that was why I never ever really stopped laughing, because it was like
it was a whole theme,
really funny naughty jokes for parents to enjoy when their kids might be present.
Yeah, that all happened in the moment where I was like, this would be amazing if that's how we could if we could just use letters, right?
Yes.
I was eventually asked to leave P&T because they told me to put my D away. Jokes like that. You remember, it's totally clean, nothing was set
right.
My 14-year-old son right now is looking at my husband going, he like, you know how like they get it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my daughters, they won't.
Yeah, your 14-year-old is like, why did he take his dog into PT?
takes his dog everywhere. He loves him. We'll leave home without him. You want to do another article before we break
it? Yeah, here we go. California bans private defecation.
I think that's the B.
Yeah, same.
It's got to be the B.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I wrote this one just because I thought it would be funny. In a procedural move usually designed to break budget stalemates, California legislators have banned going to poop in private.
So this is not the B?
In a sense, it's not the B. I just added one because I was like, I want more material. In solidarity with California's unhoused peoples, California residents will now be required to defecate out in the open, said Democrat Representative Ken Pouch, who then whispered to a colleague squatting in the corner, don't worry, Congress is exempt.
Very good. As per usual.
Sometimes when I see a porta potty, I just go behind it. I think it's actually a better place to go to the restroom. Just use it as to obstruct the view.
Imagine being a woman, a female. I mean, you can do that these days.
I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. I talk to my fiance. We talk a lot about women. I feel like the guys have it so much easier in so many ways. Like,
yeah, why do they want to be women?
Great question. Do you think, though, it's because they get to cheat the system? Like, having a baby, is anything more challenging and more difficult? No. But then you just go, isn't that offensive to just go like, I'm a woman now? And you go, well, you didn't do...
It's the most offensive.
It seems very offensive.
Jamie Lissow at the Streets of St. Charles Funny Bone, stlfunnybone.com. Tickets are going fast. Go get them. Jamie, thank you. Well, it's Friday. We're happy about that. I bet you are as well. We've got Jamie Lissow in studio with us, and he is at the St. Charles, the Funny Bone Streets of St. Charles. He is there now this weekend. Well, not now. He's here right now. Tonight is 7:30, Saturday at 9 p.m. I think that tonight's show sold out completely?
I heard tonight is sold out.
Okay.
And then tomorrow early is sold out.
9 p.m.
And there's some for late show. You know how you guys say, thank God it's Friday? I go, thank God it's Monday.
Yeah.
Because I work all weekend, but I like my job. So.
Sure. STLFunnyBone.com for tickets. Go check them out and pack that room. It's going to sell out fast. So if you are interested in going, I've gone myself. It is absolutely worth the time. I promise you'll have a fantastic evening. It's very funny. STLFunnyBone.com. All right. Are we ready to do Wiggins America? Are you ready?
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
The Bee or not the Bee.
All right, Ryan. Jamie's going to play with us, too, today. This is fun.
Yeah, so we have three people to vote on whether or not these are real stories or they're satire from the Babylon Bee. I'll read the headline, then you guess. Here you go. KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, claims video where she said Biden video was a deep fake was also a deep fake.
Sounds like the Bee.
I got the Bee on that one.
Jamie?
I'm going to say not the Bee.
Do you think that, like, because I don't think Joe Biden's going to be the guy. I don't think there's any way he can be the nominee.
I agree.
People are like, oh, it would take so much to it's like everything we do is unprecedented now.
Yeah. There's no way. How could he possibly? You know how they show presidents before and after when they go into office and they get really old? What would his next picture look like if this is what we're going?
Yeah.
What would be the after? It would be a before and after life.
I remember those pictures up when I was in... in grade school, and you'd see the beginning and the end.
Yes.
Because they'd do them for every president.
Remember
for
Clinton?
Time.
It was insane.
Yeah, and Barack Obama, too.
Yeah. Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't in grade school with Barack Obama, just for the record.
Sorry, aged.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Not the Bee.
So you guys are not the Bee. Oh. Jamie says it. Wait, you said not the Bee now.
Yeah.
We're going now.
Okay. And Brad's saying the Bee. All right. Members of the White House press corps proceeded to play a clip of the video from a day earlier, which appeared to show Jean-Pierre labeling the negative Biden clips as deepfakes. This is you, said one reporter. It's the Bee.
It's the Bee. Okay.
We were here. We listened to you say it. Deepfake. Jean-Pierre said tersely as she cut the reporter off immediately. You're a deep fake. You're deep faking right now. This isn't happening. I'm not here. I'm not saying these words right now. Don't look at me, deep fake.
Why? What's the difference between a deep fake and a cheap fake?
Cheap fake is a new term used by White House talking points.
I think that a cheap fake is a meme.
Is a cheap fake to advance an agenda? And a deep fake is just like, let's pretend Tom Cruise is doing something. I don't know which one's
I heard Harris Faulkner say, I think it was on Outnumbered yesterday, that she had had a guest on who was like, deep fakes are felonies.
Mm. Oh.
So like the Tom Cruise thing, I think those are deep fakes.
Right.
I really do think that, you know, like my favorite one of the parachuter one was where Joe before Joe Biden completely turns around, you hear the ice cream truck music. And then he just kind of
like, that's really
and
good.
And then you see the ice cream truck pull up. He's a very happy man.
I found out my whole marriage was a deep fake. It was right from the vows.
Not a cheap fake, though.
Yeah, I should have known from the vows. She was like, in good times, and that's it.
Wait, there's more. No. No, not at all.
Well, that was kind of a long pause there, Pastor. All right, next one. Best way to honor Trump, his face on a $500 bill.
Why $500? Is there a $500 bill? I wouldn't know.
I don't know.
Jamie?
I don't know. I don't have any $500 bills. I would not put it past Trump. This one's not too bad. I'm going to have to go not the bee on this one.
I don't know the story. Know either. Usually I've seen these if they're the bee.
This feels like this is a not the bee one.
I'm going to be different and say the bee.
It is not the bee. This is a real story. Arizona Representative Paul Gosar introduced a bill earlier in June pushing the Treasury to start printing $500 bills again.
So they existed in one point in time.
They did exist, this time with a portrait of Trump in the place of President William McKinley.
Oh, no, not McKinley. I know. A bridge right over here. What are we going to name that? Trump Bridge? Okay.
He served the top job from 1897 until 1901 when he was assassinated.
Oh.
Earlier this month,
poor guy.
Florida Representative Greg Stubbe introduced legislation also to change the name of parts of the ocean surrounding the U.S. after Trump. That is all real.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys, how easy must it have been to get girls if you were on the dollar bill? Like if you were, like if you're George Washington, you're like, oh, who's that on your bill?
Your dream is a $1 bill?
I guess. I'll be honest with you. It's the only president bill I was 100% sure was on it.
I guess it depends on where you're picking girls up at, yeah. Too.
Who's on the 50? The guy.
Yes. It's not Harrison.
Grant.
50? Grant 50? Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew Jackson on the 20 is the one that everyone always talks about.
That's
replacing.
Right.
And Benjamin's. Hundreds.
You would know.
Benjamin.
Yeah, I'm all about the Benjamins, baby.
A Lincoln is a
Who's
five.
On the two? Richard Simmons?
It sounds like a president. I'll say yes.
The B.
Yeah, yes. I'm locking that in.
Can you imagine getting a Richard Simmons $2 bill?
I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, we got Richard Simmons on the
think
mind
this
for
is real.
You got
I don't
one?
Think this is real. Oh, yeah, we got a whole bunch more. Here we go.
You know, if you gave a $2 bill to a kid at McDonald's, they're cashing that sucker.
Oh, yeah.
That's as good as money.
Absolutely.
They're probably going to give you a 10 in return.
Do you know I got the other night, somebody gave me a bunch of $2 bills.
Yeah.
I go, this person stole this from their grandparents.
I was just going to say, how old was this individual?
It was
Joe Biden?
A young person. I go, they don't know the value. That's my favorite. When a kid loses a tooth, I go $2 bill.
Uh-huh.
Because you can use the novelty to not spend $10 or $20.
Inflation.
My daughter said to me the other day, I'm divorced, so I have them sometimes. We're going to sleep, and she goes, hey, Dad, on the off chance you're the tooth fairy, you got to put $5 under the pillow.
You're like, but have
on
you
the off chance.
Heard of a Simmons $2
That's
bill?
Right. That's what you're getting.
You're
going to
get a Simmons.
Did you spend, what'd you guys do for Father's Day?
So I went to a concert called Summer Smash.
Uh-huh.
They call it that because it feels like you're just getting hit with a hammer the whole time. It's a rap concert. I did it for my son. He's a teenager, and so I don't get as much time with him as I used to.
Sure.
It was 3 days, 10 hours a day, outdoor festival, extreme, and it was Father's Day weekend, and I sincerely feel like I should have been the only one to get the number one dad mug this year. I think the rest of them should have been number two.
Was this rap festival like inundated with father-son experience?
I was the oldest person there by so far. There were 100,000 people there. It was filled with like fun times, and then it was evacuated for high wind at one point, which involved just like thousands of people breaking down. It was terrifying. No cell service, so I couldn't keep track of my kid who was up front. It was very stressful, but I felt like I really put in some.
This was Father's Day?
It was Father's Day.
Was this your idea or your
son? It was his idea, but to be fair, I love Lil Yachty.
Okay.
And Lil Yachty did perform on Father's Day. So it wasn't exactly
seemingly
what I wanted.
Seemingly for you.
Yeah. My kids think that I put them so first that I think my kid thinks I might have gone without him to this concert. Like he thinks I like it so much because I let him play his music and like I'm just trying to stay around.
It's really important to look at the actions of your kids through their intentions and not the surface level thing.
Exactly.
Because they have a very self-centered worldview. They're kids. They're supposed to. As a
Absolutely.
Parent, you're supposed to break them of that. You still got a little work to do.
Yeah. And I would like to say in general, if you like music, I would not go to an outdoor festival.
No.
It's the most challenging to get the sound right. It's too hot. There's like so many problems. But they did have, I don't know if it's still going on, but you could get a slice of pizza for $18. I don't know if that's...
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I don't know if that sounds special or if
there's
a limit.
Was it good pizza?
It was incredible.
Yeah?
It was incredible.
Have you partaken in any St. Louis foods? Do you know about St. Louis foods?
I'll be honest with you. I'm embarrassed that I'm kind of a loser, and I often don't get out of my room a lot. What am I missing?
Have you heard of Emos?
The alternative kids?
It's more like an alternative pizza.
If your hair gets in your eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the type of pizza.
Have you heard of Provel cheese? Provel.
I don't think so. I love a cheese.
It's St. Louis style pizza.
Where do I? Oh, okay.
What about toasted ravioli?
I've heard of toasted ravioli.
I have not.
That's yours.
Yes, that's a St. Louis thing.
Wow, what is it normally, ravioli?
Like squishy with sauce.
I'm not trying to be critical, but
I feel like
they just changed the preparation.
It is
okay,
but we just do that here. It's breaded, fried, and then you can dip it in marinara sauce.
Well, that sounds amazing.
It is amazing.
What's your favorite place to get toasted ravioli?
I mean, Emo's is like the number one St. Louis way to do it.
Okay.
But most places around here on their appetizer menu is going to have T-Ravs, is what we call them.
T-Ravs. I love T-Ravs.
I saw your face.
Yeah.
And I felt it. But like everybody listening is like, yeah, T-Ravs.
Yeah.
That's what you call them.
That's true. I didn't think about it at all until you reacted.
I thought Annie made it up because she's in such a hurry. She didn't have time to say the whole thing.
Yeah.
No, I got like T-Ravs. Maybe 3 minutes or so left.
She calls it Sunny D.
Yeah. I do enjoy some S&M, though, spaghetti and meatballs. It's,
That's not a thing.
That's obviously what I meant. That's not?
Yeah. No,
that's what that means, right?
I understood.
I've always thought that's what that meant.
Yeah. You got to go into Illinois to get that.
We're all from Illinois.
Right. Right. Among the truck stops.
That's the joke you did when we were the first time. It was, what's the PTs?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Do you remember that part?
I remember now. PTs, I talked about strip clubs?
Not really. You didn't really talk about them, but you used PTs as a way to talk about.
The strip club was called PTs, and I was like, I think
P's
I know what the P and T stands for. I remember.
But you used it the whole set.
I remember.
And I think that was why I never ever really stopped laughing, because it was like
it was a whole theme,
really funny naughty jokes for parents to enjoy when their kids might be present.
Yeah, that all happened in the moment where I was like, this would be amazing if that's how we could, if we could just use letters, right?
Yes.
I was eventually asked to leave P&T because they told me to put my D away. Jokes like that. You remember. It's totally clean. Nothing was said.
Right.
My 14-year-old son right now is looking at my husband going, he like, you know how like they get it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my daughters, they won't. Well,
yeah, your 14 years like, why did he take his dog into PT?
Takes his dog everywhere. He loves him. We'll leave home without him. Oh, you want to do another article before we break?
Yeah, here we go. California bans private defecation.
I think that's the B.
Yes, same.
It's gotta be the B.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I wrote this one just because I thought it would be funny. In a procedural move usually designed to break budget stalemates, California legislators have banned going to poop in private.
So this is not the B?
In a sense, it's not the B. I just added one because I was like, I want more material. In solidarity with California's unhoused peoples, California residents will now be required to defecate out in the open, said Democrat Representative Ken Pouch, who then whispered to a colleague squatting in the corner, don't worry, Congress is exempt.
Very good. As per usual.
Sometimes when I see a porta potty, I just go behind it. I think it's actually a better place to go to the restroom. Just use it as to obstruct the view.
Imagine being a woman, a female. I mean, you can do that these days.
I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. I talk to my fiance. We talk a lot about women. I feel like the guys have it so much easier in so many ways. Like,
yeah, why do they want to be women?
Great question. Do you think, though, it's because they get to cheat the system? Like, having a baby, is anything more challenging and more difficult?
No.
But then you just go, isn't that offensive to just go, like, I'm a woman now? And you go, well, you didn't do...
It's the most offensive.
It seems very offensive.
Jamie Lissow at the Streets of St. Charles Funny Bone, STLFunnyBone.com. Tickets are going fast. Go get them. Jamie, thank you.